We are continuing today our series on the Holy Spirit from one passage of Scripture in the Gospel of John. That's Gospel of John, chapter 16, beginning with verse 7. Now, we, of course, could spend many, many weeks of our broadcast on the Holy Spirit and the various aspects of the ministry and the person and so forth of the Holy Spirit, but we're spending some time just from this particular passage, referring, of course, to others as we go along. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Now, on one of the programs, we established that the Holy Spirit is a person, and that one of the major reasons for his coming to earth is to comfort the Christian after the Lord Jesus Christ has been taken out of the earth and goes back to sit down at the right hand of God the Father. Then we dealt with the fact, and are now still dealing with the fact, that the Holy Spirit came to reprove the world. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. And we've discussed now the fact that he was reprover of sin. We've talked about sin and how the Holy Spirit reproves of sin and rebukes of sin. And then of righteousness. We talked about that on the recent program. And of judgment. And that's in verse 11, of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Now, on the last program, we were establishing the fact that the devil is the prince of this world that he has reference to here. It is Satan that he is referring to when he says the prince of this world is judged. I went into lengths to tell you that the devil is in control of the world system. Now, I hasten to say it again. The devil cannot do anything that God does not allow him to do. The devil does not have all power, whereas God has all power. Now, the devil doesn't have all power. He is powerful, but he does not have all power. And so, the devil can only move as God allows him to. But he is now the prince of the power of the air. He is in control of the world system. Now, as I said, he cannot send the tornado unless God allows him to do so, or else he would blow all of the churches, the Bible-believing churches, off the face of the earth. He certainly cannot send the earthquake unless God allows him to do so. So, he is the prince of the world systems. He is not in control of the world per se, but he does have the world system at his control today. Now, that is because men have chosen to allow him to be their leader instead of following God, instead of following the Lord. Our own country is a great example of that. Right here in America, in 200 years of American history, we have drifted from a land that recognized God, that was blessed by God, that was founded upon the laws of God and upon the freedom of the individual that the Bible speaks about and that the Bible certainly advocates. And it was based upon the Scriptures, based upon the laws of the Bible. Our laws were based upon the laws of the Bible. Our dealing with men officially was based upon the Bible. Many of the men who founded this country, now they were not all Christians. They were not all saved. They were not all born again. Sometimes we Christians fall into the habit of thinking that, you know, these great historical characters that were so active in the early part of our country were Christian men, that they were born-again men. Now, certainly they had some principles. I say some of them no doubt were Christian. I dare say some of them really did know the Lord as their Savior. And as we hear about these men now in this particular area of history that we're in at the present moment, around 200 years after the early days of this country, we're going to have some of these men portrayed by the movies and the televisions and the radio writers. We're going to have them portrayed in all manner of characters, and some of it is going to be true, and a great deal of it, I'm afraid, is not going to be true, since they're allowing blasphemy and cursing now on television. You're going to hear these men curse, and I dare say some of these men that were the forefathers of our country did not use that kind of language. I'm sure that others that we sometimes may think as great Christians did use that kind of language. So we cannot say because they were great men, great leaders of the early days of this country, that they were all born again Christians. But they did have some things in common with the Christian, and that is they all recognized God. They all recognized that there was a devil, a personal devil. They all recognized, for the most part at least, that to follow God and to follow the Bible would build a better country than if they followed the devil and the devil's crowd. They believed that. They recognized, for the most part, Jesus as God. Now, they might not have all followed him. They might not have all been born again Christians. But they believed the Bible to be God's word. Now, in 200 years, we have failed and fallen from that to now, in your day and mine, they have taken the Bible, at least officially so, out of the schools. They have failed to recognize God and failed to recognize, I think, about the most significant thing that's done today in your day and mine in recognition of God. And sometimes that, I think, gets to be a mockery whenever the president and the vice president takes the oath of office from the Chief Justice of the United States. They put their hand on a Bible to take the office. However, sometimes we wonder how much truth there is in it, how much they mean the oath that they take. So we've fallen then. We've failed. We've deteriorated from a country that recognized God to a country that in many areas officially deny God. So consequently, we have to recognize that this prince of this power of the air, the devil, the prince of this world, is the devil. And now, instead of things such as drinking, gambling, cursing on the streets, indecent exposure on our streets, instead of these things being illegal as they were in days gone by, they have become legal and accepted in your day. Instead of prostitution and abortion being illegal, it has become legalized in some areas. Gambling has become legalized in some areas. Therefore, we have fallen from a country that one time at least recognized God to a country that feels it's sufficient within its own self, and God is being ignored officially today in our land. Well, that's because the devil is in charge of the religious, the political, and the social and the economic systems of this world. But now, that's a bad picture. That's a sad picture. And as I paint that picture, I am not despondent. I am not discouraged. I am rejoicing. I am optimistic because I see in these scriptures that the prince of this world is judged. His judgment has already been stated. His judgment has already been declared. Now, this happened when Jesus Christ died on the cross. Let me read you the prophecy of that again in the Old Testament. The Lord says to the serpent in the Garden of Eden, whenever Adam and Eve had sinned, and after God had clothed them with the skins of the innocent animals, then God says, "And I will put enmity, hatred, between thee and the woman." That's between the devil and between Virgin Mary. And we'll see that as we read. "And between thy seed," that's the seed of the devil, that's the seed of the serpent, That's the devil's children and her seed. Now, her seed, of course, is an impossibility in all areas of life. So he must be referring here to the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Her seed, or the Virgin Mary, and her seed is the Lord Jesus himself. That is God incarnate in human flesh. God incarnate in human flesh in the person of Jesus Christ upon this earth. Jesus planted in the womb of the Virgin Mary by the Holy Spirit of God. Now, so we find that God says, I will put hatred between thee, devil, and the woman, that is, of course, the Virgin Mary, and between thy seed, that's all of the children of the devil, and her seed, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, it, that's Jesus, shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Now here we find the bruising of the head of the serpent, which means the crushing death blow that is going to be dealt out by Jesus Christ. This is prophecy. This is prophesying what's going to take place in the future. In the future, the head of the serpent is going to be crushed by the Son of God, by the seed of the woman, by the Lord Jesus Christ. Thou shalt bruise his heel. So the devil will be fighting back and trying to bruise the heel of the Savior. That took place as well on the cross. That took place throughout the life of Jesus as the devil tried to kill him before he got to the cross, where at the cross he would crush the head of the serpent. So the prince of this world is judged. The prince of this world is already judged. That's right. The devil is the loser. You can count on it. So I'm not pessimistic about the situation that we're in today. I certainly am concerned about it. I certainly regret the problems that the world is facing because it has turned its back on Christ. I certainly regret the situation of judgment that we're going to find ourselves in when God begins to pour out his judgment upon this earth. But I am not pessimistic. I am optimistic because I know that Jesus Christ has crushed the head of the serpent. Now, the devil has not been placed in the lake of fire yet. The devil is still running loose. He is still under that judgment, but it has not been carried out as yet. But one of these days, whenever Jesus Christ comes back and sets up his kingdom, the devil is going to be placed in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. Then he's going to be let loose for a little season, that those who are born during that 1,000 years will be tempted of him. They will be tested by the devil. Many of them will fall and fail and turn to the devil during that time and rebel against the throne of God. Then fire will come down from God out of heaven and will destroy all of the armies of Satan. And Satan will be cast into the lake of fire where the beast and the false prophet are, where they have been burning for 1,000 years already, and they shall be tormented day and night forever and forever. That's according to the book of Revelation chapter 20. Now, the devil's judgment has already been pronounced. The Bible has already told us what God's going to do with him. He is going to be defeated. Now, everybody that's on his side, everybody that follows him, everybody that follows the flesh and refuses to trust Jesus Christ as their Savior and as their Lord, they come under this judgment of Satan. They're under this judgment of Satan, and with him, if they do not repent of their sins, if they do not turn to Jesus Christ, if they do not receive Christ as Savior and as Lord, they're going to be cast into the lake of fire where the beast and the false prophet and Satan is, will be eventually, and they are going to suffer and be tormented in hell forever and forever and forever. So you today have a choice. If there's one thing that is absolutely clear in the Bible, it is clear that men have a choice. It is clear that you decide your own destiny, whether you suffer forever in the regions of the damned or whether you live forever with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now the Bible tells us about this great conflict between God and the devil. The Bible tells us that God is all-powerful, that the devil is just powerful. The Bible tells us that God is going to be victorious, that the devil, though he wins many, many skirmishes, though he wins many battles, though he's got the world on a downhill drag today, though he's got the world systems at his control, though the political and the economic systems seem to be going in his direction, they're going the way he wants them to go, we can rest assured that God is still on the throne. God is not defeated. God will not be defeated. The prince of this world is judged, the Bible says here in John chapter 16. Now in discussing this, we've digressed just a little bit from the study of the Holy Spirit, but this is one of the things that the Holy Spirit reproves the world about. This is one of the things that the Holy Spirit, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. So the Holy Spirit comes to let us know that the devil is a defeated foe already. Now, the reason he needs to let us know that is because some people are still serving the devil. Now, in reality, they don't mean to be serving the devil. They don't claim to be a child of the devil, and they don't claim that they're doing what the devil wants them to do. What they're doing is just their own thing. What they're doing is just following the flesh. What they're doing is just what comes naturally to them because they're still in the flesh. They have not been born again. They have not been saved. But my warning to you today is that if you're just doing what the flesh wants you to do, if you're just doing your own thing, if you're just living your own life and claiming that you're not bothering anybody, but you're living your own life and you're doing your own thing, you're serving actually the devil and the flesh. Now, you are in a realm that has rebelled against God, and you are in a system that is in rebellion against God, and it is up to you what you're going to do about it. God has made you so that you can choose what you're going to do about it. If there's anything that's clear in Scripture, that's clear. You will choose what you're going to do about your spiritual condition. You will choose whether you will go down with the devil because he is already judged, or whether you will confess your sins to Jesus Christ, you will receive the finished work of Jesus on the cross, you will come under the blood that he shed there to make an atonement for your sin, and be on the Lord's side, which is the victory side. Now it's the Holy Spirit that lets you know this. Only the Holy Spirit can really convince you of this. We tell you from the Word, the Holy Spirit convinces. Now, if God's Holy Spirit is speaking to you today, be a surrenderer, please, to the Holy Spirit and not to the devil. Simply say, yes, I'll trust Jesus as my Savior and as my Lord, and I'll let him come into my heart right now and trust him as my Savior. Please do that and do it quickly.